everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Kings of Anglia Ipswich Town podcast. I'm Andy Warren, and over the next half an hour, you can listen to my chat with former Ipswich Town defender George Santos, discussing his one season at Portman Road under Joe Royle, the Battle of Bramall Lane, working for Manchester City, and his new role as an international scout for Marseille. So without further ado, here's George Santos.
George, thank you for joining us and agreeing to chat. Where in the world are you right now? Where are you talking from?
So I'm talking from my hometown, Marseille. So the weather is not too bad. A bit windy today, but it's warmer than the English weather.
Yeah, I bet. It's a very, very windy day in Ipswich today. Lots of roads closed and the big bridge is closed. So it's very, very windy, but I bet Marseille is quite nice this time of year.
Yeah, it is nice. And yesterday was quite very, very windy, but today just a little bit less than yesterday. But no, it's sunny and probably a good 14, 15 degrees so far. So yeah, no complaint.
Sounds good. And you're back there working for Marseille as a scout, is that right? You're sort of scouting?
Yes, I'm scouting international level. So with the new Marseille project, I've been in touch with Alba Valentin, the chief scout, well, the sport director number two, and Mr. Andrés Zubizarreta, who everybody knows from Barcelona.
Yeah.
So I'm in contact by them in the summer. When I get rid of them from SD Mallorca it was a bad situation. We went down, and then the owners from America decided to not to keep the scouting department. So I was available. So Marseille knew that. And then obviously I'm from Marseille. So they sent me the project, and then we took it and take it from there.
Yeah, all sounds quite nice if you've managed to move back to your home, to your hometown.
Yes, it yeah. is, it is, it is. But my family is living in Sheffield, so that's quite a bit difficult. Yes. So, but the last 3-4 seasons, I've been doing that. You know, back and forth. You know, between France and England. So, this season particularly, I've got more possibility to come to watch some games in Championship and Premier League because we do cover few important countries, you know, as everybody else in the world, you know. So that gave me time to see the family and then keep in touch with some of the people I've been working with, Man City and people, you know, friends involved in football. Yes.
Yeah. So you were at an Ipswich game recently, weren't you? Which game was that? Was it the Sheffield Wednesday game?
That's correct. Yes. 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 Yes, it was, I think, in November, I think, or something like that.
Yeah. 2-2 draw, a late equaliser.
Yeah, unfortunately, I didn't see the equaliser from Sheffield Wednesday. I left 5 minutes before the end.
Oh, so Ipswich won then? Ipswich won from your point of view? That's good.
For me, yes. Yeah, for me, I could see Ipswich winning. I couldn't see Sheffield Wednesday coming back, but knowing the Sheffield clubs, you know, we're always fighting till the end. Well, most of the English clubs anyway, if they were winning 2-3 goals, they keep going and try to come back, you know. So, the game wasn't the best one, but I saw so decent players, you know, we have to keep an eye on them, you know. So, I met a few scouts, you know, from Arsenal, I knew for years. It was good to talk to them and sharing opinions, you know. So,
yeah.
And it was nice to come back to my old club as well, you know. So, I recognized a few people and catch up with some of the ex players, you know. So,
I was going to say, it must have been, it was only one season you were at Ipswich, wasn't it? But lots of nice memories. It must be some good memories at Portman Road.
Yeah, oh, definitely good memories, you know. We had a good team and, as you remember, we lost in the semi in the playoffs, you know, against West Ham, you know. So, good memories. Obviously, the season didn't start very well, and then after we made the great run for 7 wins on the row, and then the season started, you know.
Yeah.
And then, very good memories, good lads, you know. We had a good laugh, and it was good.
And how did it all come about for you? Because you were at Grimsby before, weren't you? And am I right in saying you came and were on a contract for three months contract you signed to start with before making it a bit more permanent?
That's correct, yes. I was at Grimsby and then I was still training with Grimsby. If it did offer me something, but I wanted to stay in the championship, you know, and then Joe contacted my agent and to come right pre-season, and I think it was in somewhere, I don't know if it's Sweden or Denmark, we met the guys at Gatwick Airport, and then from then, is it 1 week or 10 days, and 3 months, and then after a couple of weeks, it was a 2 years contract, you know, so, and then unfortunately, I only stayed one season, you know, and I moved to QPR, yeah.
Yeah, but did you have other interests at the time? Did you have to choose between Ipswich and anybody else, or was it,
Grimsby was the one at first, and then nothing comes up, and then obviously Ipswich came, and then I decided to go, you know, so it wasn't for me any problem to go over there and training, like a trial that I didn't... I was fit, but only no games, but I was fit because I did the pre-season with Grimsby. And then from then, you know, so I was with my friend Andrisa Jallo.
Yeah.
So it was a good help, you know, but... and then I knew Marcus Bent because we played together in Sheffield United only for 3 or 4 months before, at the time, he moved to Blackburn at the time, I think. That was in 2000, I think. So, yeah, I knew a couple of people, so... That always helps you, and then obviously with Joe Rowe make you very comfortable, and so it was easy, you know. So
yeah.
And then I did quite well, and then from then they offered me a better deal, you know. So I accepted, you know, and Ipswich, you know, they had a project to come back, you know, and in Premier League, so it was a good experience, you know.
Yeah, at that time, a couple of years before, they'd only just been in the Premier League, hadn't they? So they had lots of big Premier League players around and still some Premier League money and some good facilities as well. So what was your first impression
brilliant.
Of Ipswich?
Oh, I wouldn't say good. It was a great facility. So for a football player to have 10 pitches and something like that, it's brilliant. And, And then the way we play football, it was even better, you know. You could swap pitches in morning or in the afternoon. It was like a carpet. You could sleep on it, you know. So for me, it was brilliant. It was brilliant and great. And the people was very, very friendly at the club, you know. No problem whatsoever. It was great.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
I've been reading a little bit about your time at Ipswich this morning, actually. I've just found an article on our website, actually, from 2003, which says, George Santos, I'm no hard man. You arrived with a reputation as being a bit of a hard man, but, you know, there's more to your game than that, wasn't there? You weren't just a hard man in defence or midfield.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the people thought, you know, some of the clubs, you know, and particularly before I started Grimsby, you know, with the Bramall situation, I was the scapegoat on that story, and then people thought I was like you said, a hard man, and then a little bit more than hard, but I'm a competitive player, and I just want to win all the time, you know. If it was a fair tackle, it's to get the ball. I never injured someone else like someone did to me the years before, you know, so you know. So yeah, I was hard on the pitch. I just wanted to win for the team, you know. I just want to do it well for the team and for myself as well, you know.
Yeah.
So on the pitch, I was a different man.
I think a lot of players are like that, aren't they? Change a little bit when they go out on the pitch.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, you know. So I had a few people say, "Oh, George, you're quiet, you're calm." Say, but on the pitch, you're different. I say, yeah. That's me. Since I've always been like that since I was a kid. I always hating losing, you know. Still now, when I try to play or tennis or table tennis or whatever, any sports, I just want to win. I'm a competitor, you know.
Yeah.
So, and when is the games? Oh, totally different. I mean, if I lose the game, oof, it was difficult to talk to me. Oh yeah, definitely.
What about your teammates? You mentioned Marcus Bent and Drissa there. Did you make any other like particularly close friends while you were here? There's some great names in that squad: Darren Bent, Chef Kikuchi, Jim Magilton.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, Jim, we know everybody. Everybody know Jim, so we have a good laugh, you know. And Darren, brilliant. You know, young kids, it was coming up. You know, Chef Ki, I used to play against him when he was a Chef Wednesday. Then I had my friend Alan Mound, who came along from Blackburn as well. So a good friend of mine who would play together in Tranmere. We're still in touch, you know. He's working in Man City. So, no, we had a good group, you know. So that's, when you have a good group, you know, always have to get a good result. You know, you had Pablo. You had good players. You had good players and good fun as well, you know. That always helps.
Yeah. And how big a part in that in your run that season did that team spirit have? Because obviously, I think you finished fifth in the end before the playoffs. But it was an exciting team to watch, wasn't it? And you guys seemed to be very close, good knit, good team bonding there.
Oh, it is, definitely. You know, as I said, the beginning season, you know, I think we started very, very poorly. You know, we didn't play a good football, and sometimes we played didn't get the correct result, but Joe and Willie were very, very calm and positive, you know, the way we're training and the way he talked to us. We knew it was coming up, you know, and then and soon we start to win the first game, second and third, and then we went from then, you know, and then and the team always come to us, or we go away. We always play football and try to win the game, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, we had the bad days, you know, like everybody, you know. But the bonding was perfect, you know. Perfect, it was good.
Are you still in touch with many of them? Did you speak to Jim or anyone like that?
It's to be honest, everybody does his things, you know, and sometimes you're too busy, you know. I know John McGrail is coaching is the manager at Colchester. I keep watching the results, but I haven't spoke with him since we did the Masters, you know, years ago, you know. So, when I'm interviewing some of the players, I always ask him, how is he doing and stuff like that, you know. Even if we're not in touch, you know. But Fabian Wellness, you know. Sometimes we're in touch in the LinkedIn, you know, or Martin Rosa, you know. Mm. The social network, you know, particularly the LinkedIn, is for me is the best, you know. We're still in touch. We see how the TX teammates do, you know, either coaching or agents or different job than football, you know. So,
Who else was in those Ipswich Town Masters teams? I remember seeing it on the TV, actually.
I didn't play for Ipswich, but I did play for Tranmere.
Okay. Oh, it's the Tranmere one.
We're Tranmere, yes. It was my first club, you know. So I always have a good... I still have a good friends over there, you know. John Achterberg is working for Liverpool now. He's the goalkeeping coach for a few years now, probably since he retired now. So, we had a good team at Tranmere, you know. I think at the Liverpool we won two times or three times in a row, something like that. And that year we won the All Masters. I wasn't involved because I was working at the time with Blackburn Rovers as a scout, you know. So, yeah.
Okay. Okay, I was going to ask you a little bit about Tranmere a bit later on, but sort of going back to that Ipswich season, looking through your results list, there's a couple of big games aside from the playoffs that stand out. I remember a very dramatic win at Crystal Palace, and then a 6-4 game with Crewe at Portman Road, where every goal seemed to either be an own goal or a 30-yard thunderbolt. There's some really exciting games this season. Do you have memories of those?
Yeah. Oh, gosh, Crystal Palace, yes, we dominated the game, and then I think it was a few minutes in the end, we were losing, and then we scored a couple of goals. And I think it's from then we started, I think, the seven games in a row. I can't remember, but that game was, I think that was the only first time we played with a wild shirt as well.
Good memory. It was a one-off.
one-off. I don't know for particular reason, but it was great. And we won 3-2, I think. Was he... Chef Hugh scored the last foot.
Yeah.
Chef
and then you
Hugh,
all
yeah.
ended up on top of each other in the
of
in the
course,
corner. Nice
yeah.
big bundle.
Oh, yeah. yeah, we have to. Yeah. So, we dominated that game. And Yeah, we nearly lost the game, but we won it. So that's the most important
Yeah.
thing. And then against Crew, you know, Crew, I would say that it was probably the hardest team I always played since I came in England, because they always played the same football. Doesn't matter if they were winning or losing, same football with Mr. Grady. Great academy, you know, brought some very good players, even international, some of them, you know.
Yeah.
Always difficult team to play. But it was great because we play footballers as well, so I'm not surprised you could see some of the reason like that, you know. But
Yeah.
yeah, we made some mistakes, we did as well, so we end up 6-4 for us, but yeah.
Very exciting
Yeah.
one. And that,
It
of course,
was
all led up to those West Ham games in the playoffs. I don't think you I think you were on the bench, weren't you? But and didn't get on. But what are your memories of those two games? Because Ipswich won the first leg 1-0, of course, and lost the second 2-0. But two very close games.
Yeah, very close game. I think both teams, I think for one of the legs, we just, well, it was it the, well, when we went to West Ham, we deserved to win, you know, more than one goal, you know, two goals, you know. But no, the atmosphere was brilliant, you know. And I, to be honest, I thought we could do it. But at the time, you know, West Ham was other strong teams as well, with some like a Defoe, David James, things like that. But playoffs, you know, is a 50-50, you know.
Yeah.
I suppose West Ham, they could have scored 5 or 6 goals on the first leg, and we could have the same on the second one, you know. So maybe the game could have ended up like a
Yeah.
6-6 or 10-10, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, unfortunately, it was the result, and then I had to move in the summer, you know. So yeah.
Yeah. Was that something you wanted to do, or did you want to stay?
No, I wanted to stay. I wanted to stay. A few clubs came, like Sheffield United. I think it was Burnley. QPR came, you know. So yeah, but I didn't want to move. I had another year contract. I was very happy at Ipswich. You know, we played football, the stadium, everything was very good. But sometimes we have to make some decision, you know. The manager told me I was not going to play much, so I was prepared to work hard to change his mind. But a few clubs came, and then I decided to move on the transfer window, maybe a few days before the transfer window or something like
Yeah.
that. On the 31st, I
Yeah.
moved to QPR. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll get on to QPR in a minute, but I always like to ask this question of guys that come over to play in English football. But how does a young man in 1998, born in the south of France, end up
Yeah.
moving to Tranmere Rovers in on Merseyside? How does that happen?
I was going to 28. So if you say that to the French people or the French football, at 28 they say you're old. But
Okay.
28 is young, you know. So, but I ended up to Tranmere because through my agent, who had a few contacts with some English clubs, and they were looking for centre half at the time. So. And I came for 2 weeks on the trial, and after 2 weeks, I signed a 2 years contract with Tranmere, and then I make some friends in and of the club, you know, and then there's the story, you know, yeah.
Yeah. So where were you
So
playing before then? Was that were you playing for Toulon? Is that right?
I put too long, but I'm from Marseille. Then I went to when I was 17, I went to Beauvais. At the time, we were a championship club with a good academy. But unfortunately, these days, we are, I think, on the fourth or fifth division in France for the last few years now, many years now. And I spent from 17 to like 26, with 1 year between in Valenciennes on loan. Then I went to Toulon, close by to mom and dad and family. So that was good for 2 years. Unfortunately, the second year we went down, and then the club went in bankruptcy. So I had the opportunity to stay in France, but I needed a new experience. It could have been in England or Germany or Portugal or Spain. I would have the possibility to go over there. I would have a try. That's what I did in Tranmere, and then from then, yeah,
Yeah,
Tranmere, yeah.
and you arrived there with obviously former Liverpool legend, really, John Aldridge. What was he like?
Yeah, good. It was a good man. Good. He likes to do jokes as well, as you know, the Scouse, you
Yeah.
know. So no, it was good, you know, and experienced manager, you know, and he knew the game, you know. And I always said to try me a name to thank you very much to give me the opportunity to play one of, well, I would say the best league in the world. I would say these days, even before. And the fact the foreigners players came to England, put the league in even in better position, you know.
Yeah,
So
it
yeah.
was a pretty good season for Tranmere, wasn't it? Your last there ended up getting to the final of the League Cup. Is that right?
I think that was the second season,
Yeah.
but unfortunately, the second season I didn't play much. I did play the first 10, 11 games, and then I was transfer listed, and I still don't know why I was transfer listed. So that's a question to ask. I need to ask John Aldridge, his name, Aldo, you know. But then I moved to West Brom for 3 months. We stayed up, and then I moved to Sheffield United with Mr. Warnock.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I was going to ask you about Mr. Warnock. He's still around, still in the Championship at Cardiff now. But what a football man he is! So did you get on with him? He seems like the kind of guy that you either love him or doesn't quite work out. How did you get on with Mr. Warnock?
Yeah, no problem with Mr. Warnock, you know. It was he's different coaches than or managers than different ones, you know. Everybody's got his philosophy of the game. At the time, you know, it was not the football game we used to play, you know, in France, you know, ball on the floor, you know, it was more like win the second ball, you know. But he was getting his results, and he was a good man. He knew how to talk to some experience to young players, you know, to put on the game, you know. So the first season we had a good season, but unfortunately we had a few injuries. Myself, who Mr. Andy Johnson gave me a elbow, I nearly lost my eye, you know.
Yeah.
So then we end up making the missing the playoffs. Yeah. So for a few points, I think we finished on the 10th or 11th position, but only a few points behind the top six, I think. Something like that,
Yeah,
you know.
very
So,
close.
yeah, very close. And then the second season wasn't the best season for myself, but then I have to move to Grimsby. Yeah.
Yeah, and just obviously in that second season, that the standout game that's now been called the Battle of Bramall Lane. It does seem like
Exactly.
you were unfairly, you were sent off, of course,
Yeah,
but it
sent
does seem you're.
off. I made a challenge. It was a strong and hard challenge, but that's a long story. But I didn't complain about the sending off, you know. So, but where I was disappointed is the way myself and Patrick Suffo, we've been the scapegoats in that story, you know, because Simon Tracy gets sent off before. And then that was my last game at Sheffield United. So,
Yeah.
but that's the game, you know. People have his view on that. Some of them say, yeah, George, that challenge was a bit strong and hard, and I could break his leg, but I could be blind as well with my, you know, the year before, you know. But well, I moved on, you know,
Yeah.
and obviously still I'm still living in Sheffield, you know, and still in contact with Sheffield United people, you know. No problem whatsoever, you know.
Yeah.
When I go to town to go to watch them as a fan, I go, you know, but as a work, I do go. And lovely people, Sheffield.
Yeah,
Lovely
and
people, a lovely club, you know. Nothing wrong with that. But at that time, I was frustrated, yeah, the way they treat me. But that's the game, you know. I moved on, moved to Grimsby. Unfortunately, we went down. I finished player of the year, then I moved to Ipswich and then QPR, you know.
yeah.
So I finished my career at 38, 39, you know. So no.
Yeah. And what about Joe Royal? He seems like a real, all the times I've spoken to Joe Royal, a real gentleman of football, a proper football man, and a guy that everybody speaks so warmly of. Was that the experience you had of Joe?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, the way you just said, I can't say much on that, you know. For me, I had one season. He took me to Grimsby, sorry, to Ipswich. And I was 33, and I learned from his experience, you know. So, and what, like you said, what a gentleman! He knows the footballer for inside out, you know. And when he says something, you have to listen, you know. And, and most of the time, he knew, you know. And that's why we had a good season, you know.
And, yeah. Yeah. And then, am I right in saying Ian Holloway was the QPR manager when you
yes.
went there? So you've worked for all, you've certainly worked for some of the characters of kind of championship football, haven't you? Neil Warnock and Ian Holloway. What was he like? Is he as mad on the training ground as he seems to be when he gets in front of a camera in the media?
No, he's not mad. I think it'd be hard to say mad. He's a passionate man.
Yeah.
Very, very passionate, you know. And, you know, when he tells us about his, you know, life, you know, when he's got kids who, you know, as you know, death, you know, so it can be difficult, you know, but very, very passionate man, and then he gives us to us, you know, that at a time, you know, and for me, it suited me, you know. Obviously, the first couple of months was a bit difficult, you know, and when you live in a hotel, it wasn't the best idea, but as soon as you settle and then you knew the way you wanted to play football. At first, it was different because he came from the League One to Championship, and they realized you have to play more football, you know, more football, more ball on the floor, you know.
Mm.
So, yeah. And then we had a good group as well, good team, good spirit as well, you know. So we had a good first season, you know, and then we nearly missed the playoffs as well, you know. But, no, good lad. Yeah, good manager, yeah.
Good man. And then you've obviously finished out your career at clubs like Brighton, Oxford, Chesterfield and Fleetwood. And now you're into scouting. How is that going? Is that something you seem to enjoy? You worked for some big clubs across Europe.
Yeah, I really, really, really enjoyed it. I love traveling, obviously. I love to watch games. And then when you do that kind of job, you know, you tend to talk or share things with your ex-teammates who involve in football, or some of the agents who knows the games, you know, and you talk to different people as well. You meet different people. Really, really enjoyed it. Really enjoyed it. And then you move to Manchester City, as you know now is a massive, massive club, you know,
and.
Still good friends over there. Really, really enjoyed it. And then now, even better now with Marseille, my hometown. New project with the owners, and then working for two legends from Mallorca, Mr. Albert Valentin and Mr. Zubizarreta. Even better,
yeah.
Even better. We do share our observation, you know, and you could see the trust on us on our scouting department, you know. So. We're talking every day, you know, even if you're not there, we're on the phone. That's what you want. As a scout, that's what you want. You want the feedback from your bosses, you know?
Yeah.
So
are you just travelling all the time? Are you constantly travelling, watching games? How many games would you watch in a week?
On a week? There's a lot of games. It could be from Monday to Sunday.
Really? Every day?
Every day. You know, I'm doing international. I'm doing international, so I'm... So I'm in Switzerland, I'm in Italy, I'm in Germany, I'm in England. So when I'm in UK, so as you know, in UK, you go games every day.
Yeah.
So I'm doing professionals and the first team only. But if I had the possibility to see youth, and then I do the youth, and then I have my colleagues as well who do the youth the youth departments, you know. So I love it. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the tiredness sometimes with the traveling, with the flights, rent a car, but you get used to it. Then you get a good bed in a hotel and that's it. So
yeah.
Recharge your battery and go back again for the games.
It must be quite satisfying when you've scouted a player that the club then goes and signs. Have there been any success stories for you over the years that you've players that you've watched a few times and recommended and then they've gone on to sign?
So many players, you know, so many players you've been watching, you know, and when Man City, you know, big clubs, and sometimes club make a decision, you know, and then you have to follow the club, you know. So maybe at the time the players wasn't good enough, and then they develop and they get better and better and better, you know. And when I was in Mallorca, when I left City in February 2016 to June 17, I mentioned some players in League 2, within a low division, who good enough to play in Spain and doing very well in League 1, and then some of them are in England, you know? So, you know, club make a decision, but that's the path of the job, you know? So many good players all over the world. So it's impossible to say yes, yes to everyone, you know? And then in the end, he's the manager who makes the decision. He's the one who coach the players on the pitch. So, you know, everybody's got an opinion. So, no, for me, it's a work team. It's a teamwork, sorry. Teamwork.
Any players out there, Ipswich could have, they're in need of a few players at the moment. They're particularly short in midfield and could do a defensive cover. Have you got any? Got any up your sleeve that Ipswich can have?
It's a plenty. Then it's about the money as well, you know.
Yeah.
Have you got the finance to help Mick to pull Ipswich where it should be? That's Mick and the board to talk about it, you know. As an ex-player, it'd be nice to see Ipswich playing the top six and go see them in the Premier League, because it's a town who love the games. You do have the facilities as well to bring players, with quality players, and do well for the city, for the town. Yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever come across Mick in the game? You must have played against his teams plenty of times.
No, I didn't. He's just a little bit older than me, you know. But
not even the teams he managed or anything.
No. But when he managed Wolves, I played against his team, you know. But I remember him when he used to play in Lyon, in France, you know.
Yeah.
As Marcel Lyon with is like a derbies, you know. So I remember him. But Mick always played good football and fair, you know, and he's a straight man, you know. So he's blue, it's blue, it's black, it's black. So that's what you want as a manager. And he's been doing very well with the town. We've had the budget, I would say.
And that's it for this week's podcast. Thanks very much to George for joining us there to talk about his time at Ipswich Town. And thank you to all for listening. Remember to subscribe to Kings of Anglia on iTunes and through Audioboom and other podcast providers. And to keep checking our websites for all the news, features and videos covering Ipswich Town home and away throughout the rest of the season. We'll see you again soon.